notes and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Laura, for that. And I hope that that is our promise to God, that no matter what, our knee is bent to Him. No matter what, we are His and we will do His will. And what a wonderful song, Bow the Knee, that is. Romans chapter number 1, we're going to take a look at verse number 14 through 17. As I think about the Missions Emphasis Month and I think about the time of understanding our need for missions work, this is the first passage that comes to mind. As I think about the Apostle Paul, he declares who he is in this passage. He declares his creed. And in verse number 14, we find the Apostle Paul saying, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I love this next statement, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I hope that that's your statement tonight as well. Not ashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for the Apostle Paul and his example and scripture of what a missionary is, what a church planter is, what an evangelist is, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for his work, and Lord, thank you so much for this book that you've given us, this book that's filled with doctrine and truth, and Lord, we can learn so much from it. So tonight, I pray that we would learn about the Apostle's creed, his creed to be unashamed, his creed to preach the word no matter where. Lord, and I pray that we would learn, and God, that you'd open our hearts to what you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I've noticed anymore on online sites is that for a lot of businesses, they have a mission statement. No matter where you go, you'll find that the business has a mission statement. If it's a donut company, it has a mission statement. You would think that its mission statement is just to fill the tummies of those who are looking for a sugary treat. But they have a mission statement. If you look at Walmart, they have a mission statement. If you look at Kmart, so on and so forth. I believe that the Apostle Paul here makes a mission statement. He makes a statement about his life. He makes a statement about what a missionary should be. And I believe that four statements inside of this missionary's creed are things that not just the missionary should attend to, but that every single Christian should attend to. But as we focus on missions and as we focus on missions giving, I want you to think about what the Lord is requiring of you this year as far as missions is concerned. So tonight I want to look at four statements of the Apostle Paul's missions creed that we must all attend to. A very simple message, possibly a very short message, and God's people said, amen. All right, get you in and out of here, and we'll all be profited from it. Tonight, first of all, the first statement that I want to see that the Apostle Paul makes is number one, I am indebted to the lost. I am indebted to the lost. Take a look at verse number 14. It says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. The Apostle Paul didn't owe anybody money. He didn't owe anybody gold. He didn't owe anybody silver. He didn't owe anybody any kind of merchandise. But the Apostle Paul had in his mind that because he was given grace in which he was so undeserved of. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say in a later book that I am the least of the apostles. He would state that, listen, I was undeserving of the gift of God, the gift of grace, but God came down and he saved my soul on the road to Damascus. And I believe that would be the apostle's testimony here. So he wasn't in debt as far as monetary things are concerned, but the Apostle Paul would say, I'm in debt as far as the gospel is concerned. And I'm in debt knowing that I've got to get the gospel to every single person that I've come in contact with. And that means, first of all, I want to see that that's regardless of race. He says in verse number 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. The Apostle Paul, while writing to the Roman people, kind of makes connection between two different people groups, the Greeks, who were the civilized people. If it was dealing with the body and health and things of that nature, the Greeks were the epitome of it. In fact, that's where we get the Olympics from, is from the Grecians. And so the Grecians were so concerned with their body and keeping their body up. And that's why the Apostle Paul has many analogies as far as running the race is concerned and being an athlete and things of that nature. Why? Because he knew what people group he was going to reach out to. Why? Because most of the world during this time was some sort or form of Greco-Roman. And so when you look at the Apostle Paul, he's saying, I am in the debt to the Greeks, the civilized people, and he also says to the barbarians, the uncivilized, the uncultured, those who, by the Greeks' standard, had chosen not to take part in Hellenization of Alexander the Great, which, if you don't understand that, Hellenization was where Alexander the Great conquered society and decided to basically take everything in the Grecian culture and shove it into the face of the rest of the world. So all of the world during this time spoke what? Greek. That's why our Bible is written in Greek. That's why, when you look at the New Testament, at least, is written in Greek. And so as you think about these barbarians, these are people that chose not to take this Hellenization, this Greek culture, this almost civilized type of stance on things. And they were people that were very uncivilized. But the Apostle Paul makes a point of saying, I am in debt to both the Greeks, the civilized people, and the barbarians. And we can go even further in saying, I am in debt to those who are red, black, or white, because no matter what, they're precious in Jesus' sight. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, he would make the same statement. Tonight, I just want to just sit back and think about the fact that the devil uses his greatest tool of racial diversity in the world today. When Jesus Christ wants no part of racial diversity. When he came to save sinners, he came to save them all. When you think about even the later on portions of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul would make points like the whole world is guilty. In fact, in chapter number 3, if you'll turn there with me, chapter number 3, verse number 9, he's even dealing with the Jewish people here. God's chosen people, so to speak. Verse number 9, we take a look at chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, what then? Are we, the Jews, better than they? Meaning those who aren't the Jews? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. No matter what, all races have one big problem. It's a sin problem. But I'm so glad that my Savior looked beyond my sin. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It doesn't say to save white people or black people or Indian people or Asian people. It says to save sinners. Why? Because we've all sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. However, if you don't think you have a prejudice, think about if God called you to be a missionary to Iraq. If you don't think you have a prejudice, what if God called you to be a missionary in Afghanistan? Automatically, a red alert would go off in our mind. Because when we think about the fact that God saved or died to save sinners, we've got to understand that God died to save even those who would eventually hate him and hate us. And I don't just mean us as in Christians, I mean us as the West. If you don't think you have a prejudice, consider now with me, if God ever called you to that region, what would your first instinct and thought be? The Apostle Paul said, I'm in debt to that person. I'm in debt to them. I owe them the gospel. Why? Because Jesus died for them, and I've got that news, and I can't hold it in my bones any longer. I've got to give it out. I've got to give it to the person who Jesus died to save. I'm indebted to them. Do we have that same passion and energy to win the loss as the Apostle Paul, who said, I'm indebted regardless of race, and let her be regardless of social class. Regardless of social class, that should be your next point there. You know, I'm so thankful. And I just want to be honest with you here tonight. And I want to be transparent with you. I'm thankful for a guy like Jimmy Powderly. I'm thankful for him. I love him. Because I love the vision that he has for lost souls. That goes beyond social class. To some people that most of us wouldn't even consider even talking to. Jimmy goes out to these people, and I love him for it. And yeah, I'm going to brag on him for a second or two. Because when it comes right down to it, this guy is doing something about the salvation that God has given him. And Jimmy says, listen, I was nothing but a beggar. And so I'm going to the beggars. Oh, what would happen if the church stopped seeing in social class? What would happen if we took the emphasis of the Apostle Paul, who said, I'm in debt both to the Greeks and barbarians, to the civilized and uncivilized. We could put it like this, to the homed and to the homeless. We can put it like this, to the cultured and uncultured, to the normal and to the weird. I'm in debt to all of them. The gospel's got to get to all of them. I can't help it. I've got to preach to all of them. But I wonder tonight, church, if this is our mindset. And I sit here and I think as I'm putting together this message, and God hits me right in the heart and says, you've got a problem, buddy. You've got a problem. Because you don't feel like you owe them something. And you should. I wonder if you're like me, and you've got a problem. A problem that needs to go beyond seeing social class and race and prejudices. Tonight, I wonder if you'd respond the same way the Apostle Paul did. I'm indebted to the lost. The second statement I see the Apostle Paul makes in his missions creed is, I am prepared to preach the gospel. I am prepared to preach the gospel. Take a look at verse number 15. The Bible says, so as much as in me is. We could say it like this today. As for me, Joshua said it like this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, as for me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. He said, letter A, it's my part. This is my part. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about if you were to tear apart a clock. You'd just tear apart a clock, and you'd see a lot of different pieces. I think it'd be pretty neat, actually, to try to, you know, maybe put it together. I'd probably end up letting the pieces all sit all over the place for a while, and my wife would come along like, what were you planning to do with this? But if you were to tear apart a clock, you'd get tons of pieces and little tiny things, little intricate things that make the clock work. Now, what we see is the minute hand, the hour hand, the numbers, okay? We see the second hand ticking around. But we don't see the little parts. We don't see the little pieces. Let me tell you something. Missions work isn't just the missionary. The part that we see, the person that's on the video on the screen come October time. It's not just that person, but missions is the churches that support them. The little pieces that nobody sees. The little old woman who has nothing but a couple bucks to give, and yet she pulls out her wallet and gives those $2, and we could kind of liken it to the widow's mite in Scripture, because that's her part. The Apostle Paul said, as for me, in other words, this is my part. My part is to preach the gospel. But tonight, I wonder what your part is. I wonder maybe if God is calling you to someplace, somewhere. And you say, well, Pastor Nick, I know God is calling me, but don't you understand that I work a 9-to-5 job and I've got a family and I've got kids and I've got a mortgage and you just don't understand because you're 26 and you, am I 26 or 27? You're 26 and you don't really know about life, Pastor Nick. Well, I know enough. I know enough that when God calls me to something, I don't say no. I know enough that when God calls me to a place, I better listen. And I wonder here tonight if you're sitting and you know beyond a shadow of doubt that God's calling you, but you're scared of letting go, my friend. Let go. And as the old saying says, let God. Because when it comes right down to it, I wonder if you understand your part. Your part might be that missionary. But your part tonight might be the widow giving what you have. Your part tonight might be taking a couple dollars and instead of buying a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, giving it to a missionary who could probably feed 10 or 15 kids. Are you willing to be the part though? Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I think in that section we could even say, who shall I send and who's going to help with that person that I sent? When it comes to missions work, the missionary needs help. What's your part? What's your part? Paul says, I know my part. My part's to preach the gospel. And I'm ready to do that. Letter A, my part. Letter B, my preparation. My preparation. And I see the Apostle Paul, he had a preparation of prayer. He had a preparation of prayer. Take a look at verse number 9 and 10. This is really interesting here. 9 and 10 of Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. And I wonder how much time we bathe in prayer as far as missions work is concerned. The Apostle Paul was ready because he had bathed everything in prayer. Everything was saturated in it. In fact, the Apostle Paul would eventually tell the church of Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. And here he says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And he's saying, listen, I'm waiting for God to give me the go-ahead. I'm prepared as far as prayer is concerned. My wife and I, oftentimes when we get ready for vacation, we forget things. Every time. Every time. And I can tell you who the culprit is. It's me. It's definitely me, and it's definitely my problem. I am one of those types of people that will be doing something, and I'll be working on something, and you might be this type of person as well, and you'll be working on something, and then you'll start to think of something else, so you'll leave whatever you're working on sitting there, just sitting there, and you'll go over and do that thing in which you thought of to do, and while the mess is still over there because you kind of have ADD in a way and you can't kind of keep your attention on what you're doing at the moment, you left it there in a pile, and so you go over here. I've literally been my wife, she'll totally agree with this. I've literally been getting changed into something and I will be kind of like okay, I've been getting changed. I'll leave my clothes where they are. And it's not a bad habit of leaving my stuff where they are. I don't have that habit of just, I'm just going to leave it there on purpose. It's just that I leave my stuff and I start to think, I got to go do this. And I run off to do it. And my wife comes in like, what are you doing? There's clothes all over the place. One of the things that we usually do is we forget stuff. And it's usually my fault because I'll be going to get that thing. And I'll think of something else. Oh, you know what? I would like to go get a slice of pizza right now. You know, and it just happens. One of the things that we forgot one time, I shouldn't say we, I should stop saying we, because it's me. One of the things I forgot was the phone charger. And you know, you're probably just saying, like, Pastor Nick, come on. I traveled the United States when I was a kid without even having a cell phone. I understand that. But now when the GPS is on your phone, you need the phone alive. So we usually use our phones for our GPS. And I can tell you, we got in a car and we start going. And you know, you don't think about it until you actually have to turn the GPS on. And so about 15, 20 minutes into the ride, you take your phone out and it's got 20% battery. And you're like, oh, I should charge it. Hey, hon, the charger's in the house. And she looked at me. She's like, you got to be kidding me. I know. She was gracious, though. She was gracious. She is. And she just kind of laughed it off. And we had to go buy another charger, a phone charger. So now somewhere around my house, I've got about 13 phone chargers. But you know that prayer is the power behind missions. Prayer is the power behind the preaching. I bet you if we were to kind of put a gun up to Pastor Weigel's head, he'd probably say he covets your prayers. And not that we need to do that. He covets your prayers anyway. He covets your prayers. I bet you the missionary covets your prayers. I bet you Brother Dross covets your prayers. More than anything, you can't just buy God's power. Can't just go to a Wawa and say, hey, I forgot the power back at home. Can I get some of that? You can't do it. But so many times, we leave God's power when it's so available to us. That's what I see in Scripture. It's available to them who humbly ask. Ask and ye shall receive. But Jesus still says ask. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you, but still got to knock. My preparation. Am I preparing for this missionary to go into this foreign field by praying for them? It's a preparation of prayer. But number two, it's a preparation of Scripture. The apostle says in verse number 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. And this is just a very simple point. This is the most simple point of them all. Do you know Scripture? Do you know the Bible? And I think that's why most of us don't go soul winning. I really do. Because we don't feel as if we know the Bible well enough to be confronted with someone who might have a question. But that's why Peter says, hey, have an answer for every man that asks you of the hope that lies within you. That's why the Apostle Paul would be so willing to preach the gospel, because he knew Scripture. I truly believe that. Because he studied it. And even in the last days of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, what is the Apostle Paul asking for? First thing is he asks for a coat, probably because he's cold in prison. But the other thing that he asks for is the parchments, the Scripture. Because he wants to study it. I wonder if God were to call you, if that be your excuse to say no, because I don't know the Scripture. Oh, but church, we can be prepared. We've got it in front of us. It's so available to us. And you say, well, I don't have money to buy one. Do you have a cell phone? Because there's Bible apps for free. Most of us look at our cell phones probably 8 to 9 hours a day. Scrolling through Facebook, and listen, I'm guilty of it too, okay? Scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, okay? I've just gotten into Twitter, right? I need to turn it off because people are annoying. But when it comes right down to it, what if we were scrolling through the Bible, grasping what God's Word has to say to us, preparation of Scripture? This is why the apostle said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Let us see. My position. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Are you ready to preach the gospel where you are? The apostle was ready to go into the hornet's nest, so to speak. He is ready to go into the fiery place to preach the gospel. He was ready to stand before Caesar and preach the gospel. That was his goal. If you look throughout his missionary journeys, his goal was to get the gospel to Caesar. To get the gospel to the king. The apostle knew that all roads lead to Rome, but that also meant that all roads lead from Rome. And so if I got Rome's highest people to understand the gospel and understand Christ's salvation, hey man, then that gospel can be spread throughout the rest of the world. And it can be so much easier for Christians to get the gospel from here to there. And I wonder tonight what your mission is as far as the gospel is concerned. You have people that live right next to you. Right next to you. And I'm convicted. I'm convicted about this. How many times have I at least, at very least, left an invitation to church on their door? At very least. How many times have I gone over to their house and said, I love you enough to tell you about a Savior that loves you? How many times have we done it? Your position, it's where you are. But so many times we're unwilling to even preach where we are. So how is God going to send us to somewhere else? How is God going to use our church if we're not even preaching to the lost here in Tom's River? My position, I'm prepared to preach the gospel where I am. I'm prepared to preach the gospel where God takes me. The third statement tonight, quickly, is that I am unashamed of the gospel. I am unashamed of the gospel. In verse number 16, the Bible says, for I am unashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The apostle's position was unashamed. No matter what, he was going to preach the gospel. Whatever it meant for him, and eventually tradition will say that the Apostle Paul would be beheaded for his faith. I bet you that he has no regrets. I bet you if you'd ask him right now where he's at, he'd have no regrets and he'd do it again. Why? Because his statement was, I'm unashamed of it. Because my Savior God came down. And my Savior God lived a perfect life. And my Savior God went to the cross for me and shed His precious, innocent, wonderful blood for my salvation. And it's not about what I do. It's about what He did for us. And that's why I'm unashamed today to tell you that Jesus loves you. And I'm unashamed to tell you about the power of the gospel. It's not just a fun story to tell. It's not just a great story to tell kids to let them know that someone loves them. It's a powerful message. The Bible says the power of the gospel. This word power is the word dunamis. I'm sure some of you already are red lights going off. Dunamis, dunamis, dynamite, dynamite. It's a transforming power. If you were to take a stick of dynamite and stick it into a mine or someplace and you set that fire, boom! No longer a rock, okay? It's all over the place, all right? All right, you've created a tunnel for yourself. That's what the original use was for. Mining, tunneling, things to that effect. It was to transform something. That's what the power of the gospel is for, to transform. You see, the gospel isn't just about saving a life. It's about transforming a life. And when you think about the Apostle Paul who would say, listen, my life is different. And you would all agree with me. You would all agree that the Apostle Paul's life was different. No longer persecuting the church. No longer living for the law as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But now his life was about grace. The grace that is found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I wonder whose life needs to be transformed that you know by the power of the gospel. Whose life you look at and say, man, whew, God's got to do something in their heart. Maybe it's you that He wants to put into their life to do something in their heart. And you've got a powerful message. And really, it's not about you anyway. It's about the message you carry. It's a powerful message. but it's a universal opportunity. I see that the gospel is a powerful message, but it's unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we already talked about this earlier. The opportunity for salvation is to all, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse number 17, there's an interesting phrase the Apostle Paul would use, a phrase that Roman people would understand. It's the word righteousness. Righteousness. The Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith." And understandably, the Jewish people would use the word righteousness as describing God's character. And in this phrase, it is used again, describing God's character, but it's also got a background meaning as well. The word righteousness actually can be found on Roman coins back in the 60s and 70s AD. And on the coin, there was a woman. And it was a woman holding a scale. And the word righteousness was equivalent to that which we could say equity or balance. Someone that's fair and imparts divine judgment in fairness. The Roman would look at this, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And they might understand that on the back of that coin that they are carrying in their wallet or purse is the same understanding there. Our God is a God that's fair and equitable, meaning He gives out and imputes righteousness to all who come by faith. That's why it says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. There's an equal opportunity for the lost to come to salvation through faith. And God imputes righteousness to all who come by faith. He doesn't hold back from one person to the other. He doesn't hold back from the white person or the black person or the Asian person or the Indian person or whoever you might say. He doesn't hold back. If they come by faith, He gives and imparts it to them freely. That's our God. That's grace. That's a wonderful Savior. A universal opportunity. But so many times, I believe that Christians act as if salvation is theirs just to hold in their arms and not let go of. Oh, what a backward sense of understanding of salvation we have. When we understand salvation is to be given out to every creature. The last statement here, and I'm done, is I am living by faith. I am living by faith. The missionary's creed is that I am indebted to the lost. His creed is that I am ready to preach the gospel. His creed is I am unashamed of the gospel. But number four, I am living by faith. And also at the end of verse number 17, the Bible says the just. In this understanding of the book of Romans, the just or justified means that those who have been declared righteous, those who God has imputed His righteousness to by faith. And so I want to make the point to you tonight that faith isn't just for salvation, but faith is for daily living. Understand that it's impossible to please God without faith. We know that because the book of Hebrews says so. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. We think sometimes that because we're saved, now we've kind of got to work our way into work our way into merits in God's eyes. Or work our way through the fact that God saved us, so I got to be better because He saved me now. It's about faith still. It's still about faith. It's about living by faith. It's about giving by faith. I'm justified by faith, but I'm also motivated by it. My faith that God is going to do something through my dollar. My faith that God is going to do something through me. My faith that God is going to utilize me to reach someone that is lost with the gospel. You know, I look at these statements. And I think I could live these every single day. I think that should be my life. It should be my life to live by faith. It should be my life's motto that I'm unashamed of the gospel. It should be my life's motto that I'm ready to preach the gospel. It should be my life's creed that I'm indebted to the lost. But so many times we say, well, that's the missionary's job. Leave it to him. But it's our job first. It's the church's job first to reach the lost around them, to send them out. It's what we see in Acts chapter number 13, that the church was reaching those around them. So let's send some people out. So they prayed, laid hands on Saul and Barnabas, and they went out. But it started with the church. Church, is this our creed? Is this what we're living by? Is this your personal motto? Are these statements all true about your life right now? I know as I was preparing this message that I was convicted more than anything, maybe more than anyone, that sometimes these statements are just not real in my life. But like I always say, and the teens will laugh when I say this, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And today, things can change. And today, you can be a missionary. Love that little song that Mrs. Johnson taught us. Mrs. Johnson used to do the little missionary stories with the kids. She would bring in some snacks, which obviously was my favorite part. And she'd bring some snacks, and usually they're from some kind of foreign nation. And I remember learning that song. Be a missionary every day. Yeah, there we go. All right. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. I can't remember the rest, but that's all right. But the thought stuck in my mind. I should be a missionary today. I am a missionary where I'm at. I am a gospel bearer here. But maybe God's calling you elsewhere. Are you ready for that? Would your creed be the same as the Apostle Paul's? Would your life resemble Romans 1, 14 through 17? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for an apostle who showed really what it was like. What it was like to be a true gospel bearer everywhere he went. What it was really like to be a missionary. What it was really like to reach the world around him. What it was really like to care for the lost soul. Thank you for that example. God, I pray that we would fulfill that example in our own life. Lord, that we would really care about the lost soul. We would really care about those who are dying and going to hell around us. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would have the fervency and the goal of being a missionary where we are. We love you, Lord. Bless those who are being called. Lord, maybe some in this service, Lord, help them to answer the call tonight. Tonight. Lord, for those who are struggling with what to give, help them to have a number in their head. Lord, maybe help them to have kind of an idea of what you want them to give towards missions this year. Lord, we love you. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.